talking to who's ever still out there. Who's ever still alive, who can hear me. Anyone who's still able to get their computer working. As 3/4 of the U.S. has been wiped out by the H1N1 swine flu. Yeah. Yeah, what happened to that? We're all supposed to be dead. Just like the bird flu and the flu before that, and so on and so forth. I just wanted to say I told you so. And then the next, so we can all remember this the next time some flu starts spreading in Asia and everybody freaks out. Let me tell you something about China. There's like 40 billion people living in China, and they're living on top of each other like rats, and it's a third world country. So, you know, people are still dying from dysentery out there left and right. Anything that happens in a third world country is not going to kill us. It's just not. Not only do we have a great healthcare system, you know, great hospitals, we possibly our greatest barrier against diseases like this is the fact that we don't like each other in this country. We don't touch each other very much. We don't talk to strangers if we can help it. We don't use public transportation if we can help it. We stay away from each other. So that's a huge barrier against spreading disease. And apart from that, we have something in this country called capitalism, and that means the first person who can solve a problem makes a fast buck. So if the H1N1 was a real issue, some drug company would solve it and market it, and they'd put it in a cute little bottle with a cartoon drug on it, or a cartoon germ. It'd be Swiney the Swine Flu. Swiney brand swine flu medication. And bring that up also because I want to talk about credibility today. But before I get started on that, and it sort of ties into credibility, I want to read briefly an email I got from someone. This is an email from a gay listener about my strategy for getting somewhere with gay marriage. You didn't listen to that. I don't know which blog it's on, or I mean which podcast it's on, but I gave an angry little strategy so that we can all let them be married and be done with it. Let's see, I'm going to paraphrase most of it. It was a long email, but it says, I'm a gay man who is a big fan of 90% of your work. When you started discussing the gay marriage agenda, I was all prepared to be pissed off at you for whatever ignorant remarks you had. However, I found myself more pissed off at our own leadership and found myself befuddled. See, this is how I know that he's gay, because he used befuddled. I know that this is a genuine gay person writing in, because straight people don't use the word befuddled. Befuddled that this type of strategy had to come from someone like you. What the hell's that supposed to mean? Someone like me. Fag. Yeah, I don't know, buddy. I don't know why it had to come from me. I mean, other than, like I said before, their agenda really isn't moving anything forward. Their agenda is just being pissed off at the other side. And I really don't understand how these people get laid. Because every time I see gay leadership on one of these talking head shows or on CNN or something, there's no charm at all. You know, there's those books out there, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and there's, you know, classes on how to what do you call that? Strategize. how to negotiate and stuff like that. And it all starts with some sort of charm and finding a middle ground. But all these people, they just walk around constantly pissed off at the other side. So how does that personality get someone across the gender barrier for them? I don't get it. I don't know. But once again, you want solutions, you come here. Come to me. even if I don't agree with you, I can come up with something just to get you all to shut up. Back to credibility. And this is all tying together nicely. Because if you want to accomplish something, you have to be credible. Your leadership has to be credible. You have to think and pay attention to how your side sounds. You know, how they're coming across. I read something last week that Al Gore said that in 5 to 7 years, the polar ice caps could melt completely if we don't do something. Now, let's think about that. This is somebody who's supposedly credible. If the average temperature out there is, and I'm being really generous here, 10 degrees above zero. I'm sure it's much colder than that at the top of the Earth and the bottom of the Earth. But let's say it's 10 degrees on average. Ice melts at 32 degrees. So that means the average temperature of the Earth would have to jump 22 degrees in 5 years. Does anybody out there really think that that's going to happen because we're all still driving around in Chevy Caprices? Give me a break. It's idiocy. He sounds like an idiot. And he's the one who's in charge of this movement right now. You guys want to be taken seriously. You got to get rid of idiots like that. I mean, that's just stupid. It doesn't take a lot of math to figure out how stupid that sounds. Not only does it have to bump up to 22 degrees, it's really got to get hotter than that because he says they're all going to be gone, and that's a hell of a lot of ice. I know a lot of you who don't live in the Midwest. They live in California. But let me tell you what. It starts getting warm here in the spring. It starts getting, you know, into the 30s. Stuff starts melting. Those big snow banks that the snow plows have piled up on our driveways or piled up on the side of the road as they come through, some of those things aren't gone for a good month and a half after it's hit 30 degrees or 32 degrees on a regular basis. And that's just a 6-foot snowdrift. That's not miles deep of rock solid ice. So what he said is completely ridiculous. And when your leader says something completely ridiculous and you back him, you are then sounding completely ridiculous and you have no credibility, your movement has no credibility, and nobody wants to help you or listen. So just pay attention to that. Stop putting these guys in the forefront who are saying wild-eyed shit like this. And even more so, here's the other thing. Before you even go that far, look around. If you believe in this movement, and you're surrounded by people who are idiots, maybe you should take a step back and say, maybe I should rethink this. Maybe this whole thing is stupid. You know, analyze it a little bit. And then if you still think it's not stupid, then start changing the order of who's in charge. Start changing the chain of command. I mean, because when you put a guy out there who says stupid shit like 5 to 7 years, the ice caps are going to melt. Give me a break. It's insane. I don't know when, talking about other people losing credibility, I don't know when the History Channel became the kook channel, but it is straight up the kook channel now. There's no history on there at all. It's all predictions and what might happen and shows on finding ghosts and what Nostradamus might have said. It's kookery. It's the kook channel now. I'm watching part of it, and there's some, I don't know what show it was because I came in halfway. But it was another show about how the world's going to end, you know, what could end the world. And they're talking about bees. They got guys on there who are quote-unquote experts, but really, they just wrote a book. You know, they put their name out there, you know, the guy's talking, underneath his talking head it says, Joe Blow, author of We're All Doomed Because the Bees Are Dying. You writing a book doesn't make you an expert. I could write a book right now on anything and title it anything. I could put out the next edition of Arsenic Lullaby and title it The Coming Global Disaster. Right? And you could put my head on TV and put Douglas Paskevich, author of The Coming Global Disaster. Even though the book was just about cartoons about fetuses. That's the only... And I've never written a book on it before. I've done no research. I have no PhD, nothing. That's all... Pay attention to these things. Pay attention to that when they put somebody on there and they have him puking up information and opinion. Pay attention to what they offer as a reason why he's on there. His credibility is that he wrote one book. You can now ignore everything he had to say. They had some guy in there and he's going on and on about how none of our plants, none of our crops are going to grow because the bees help pollinate the crops. You know, and he's explaining, well, the bee goes from one flower and he picks up some pollen, then he goes to another flower, and that pollen gets onto that plant, and that's how pollination happens. And if all the bees disappear, we're all going to die because we won't have any food. Now, first off, they haven't proven all the bees have disappeared. It's all a lot of anecdotal evidence from beekeepers that the bees aren't showing up, which proves nothing. Maybe the bees migrated to some different area. Maybe the bees are too smart now. They've learned not to get trapped in those things or whatever the hell. But we don't even have to go that far. We can accept this premise that these bees are disappearing. Not every plant on this earth gets pollinated because of a bee. If it did, we'd be up to our asses in bees. I mean, just think about it. Think about all the plants out there and how often you see a bee. You see a bee every once in a while, but you see plants everywhere. You know, and I never went to college, but I do know this. Plants have both sexes. So a plant can pollinate itself. Okay, the wind shakes the plant. Some of the pollen could get into the female part of the plant. You don't need the bees. The bees do a little bit here and there. But those corn crops that you see out there don't have bees swarming all over them, do you? You know, drive through Idaho or drive through Indiana. It's miles and miles and miles and miles and miles of corn crops. You see a bee anywhere? No. Give me a fucking break. But my favorite part was the guy, and you can tell as much about someone from what they say as to what they don't say. You know, you can tell as much about a person when they're talking about what they didn't leave out, is what I mean to say. When you're talking, you can leave a lot of things out that don't need to be said, because let me just tell you what the guy said, and you'll know what I'm saying. He said, the only way we'd ever be able to do anything about this, I'm paraphrasing here, obviously. He goes, the only solution would be is if we would make all sorts of tiny robot bees, which we're probably not going to do. He said this, which we're probably not going to do. First of all, probably. Of course we're not going to. We're not going to make 6,000 tiny robot bees. That's something you say to be absurd, but apparently he didn't. If he thought it was absurd to say this, he wouldn't have said, which we're probably not going to do. He felt it was necessary to put that on the end, which means he didn't think it was absurd to throw this out there as a solution. Am I making sense here? Am I putting my point across? If I were to say, the only way we could solve that is to make a bunch of tiny bee robots. Now, I know that's absurd, so I end it right there. But if you think that's a true solution, then you grumble, which we're probably not going to do. This is who the History Channel put out there as a credible opinion on the bee topic and how we're all going to die because there's no bees pollinating everything. And again, capitalism. If that were really a problem, you'd be seeing beekeeper advertisements and beekeeper factories everywhere because you could make a real fast buck helping Archer Daniels Midland pollinate its crops with your bees. There'd be trained bees that have been hybrid for this and that and the other thing, but there's not, which means there's no need, because if there's a need, somebody'd be making a buck off it. That's the beauty of capitalism. Wow, 15 minutes already. But remember when 15 minutes used to seem like it was taking forever? Like there was no way I was going to be able to talk for 15 minutes? Huh? Joe says he never had a doubt that I could talk for 15 minutes. Okay, this is the end of part one. I still got a head of steam, so stop now, start the next one. And if you don't, we'll see you next time, and until then, think.